In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are only a handful, not even a handful, there are only three persons whose birth is celebrated in the sacred liturgy. And those three persons are, of course, our Blessed Lord himself at Christmas time, our Blessed Mother in September, and the saint whose birthday we celebrate today, and that is the great precursor of our Lord, St. John the Baptist. And this is actually a feast that was kept from the earliest times in the Church. It's one of the most ancient feasts, and it gives us an idea of how much the early Christians recognized the importance of this saint who was even prophesied together with our Lord in the prophecies of the Old Testament. There's a beautiful sermon written by St. Augustine in which he talks about the importance of the birth of St. John the Baptist. And he talks about how John the Baptist is a kind of bridge uniting the Old Testament and the New. And in him we find the characteristics of both the Old Testament and the New. The fact that he was born of elderly parents, for instance, who ordinarily should not have been able to have children, is a sign that he's connected with the Old Testament, right? With things very old that, in a sense, had ceased to give forth children. And in fact, in this sense, he's representative of the prophets of the Old Testament, who had been silent for centuries. This period had come upon the history of Israel in which there were no more prophets. And that lasted for centuries. They were silent, okay? And that's represented in the silence of John the Baptist's father, the priest Zechariah. You recall when the angel Gabriel appeared to him and announced that he and his wife would have a baby. His first response was doubt. He scoffed at it, and what was the result? He was struck dumb, okay? And his being struck dumb, mute, represented the muteness of the prophets who had been silent for centuries, okay? But then John the Baptist also represents the New Testament because he's sanctified while still in his mother's womb. He becomes a saint even before he's born. Some people get all the grace, right? And this represents the fact that he's holy when he comes out of the womb represents the New Testament, right? Because each one of us becomes a new creature thanks to the baptism that our Lord purchased for us at the cost of his blood. And John the Baptist comes out of the womb already glorifying God, already filled with divine grace, already proclaiming by his birth the coming of of another child who would follow him by only 6 months, right? And so he's this bridge between the Old and the New Testaments, right? And St. John the Baptist is also a wonderful model for those of us who live in the New Testament time, because he shows us so many really essential virtues, right? One of the most important, of course, is humility, right? We remember how he emphasized the fact that he wasn't the Messiah. He said that Christ had to increase, and he himself, John the Baptist, had to decrease, right? And that's the attitude that every Christian needs to have, and especially those of us who have the duty of proclaiming the gospel by our lives in some way. We have to remember that we're not up here advertising ourselves. We're not here in order to get people to think that we're somebody. Rather, we would prefer that they would forget about us and that they would remember the one who we're proclaiming, right? It's useless if a preacher gets up and gives a rousing homily and everybody's impressed and they think, oh, wow, that was wonderful. And 5 minutes after the homily's over, they forget what he said and they don't carry out anything that he was talking about, right? That would be useless. You know, or if we have some other apostolate, you know, going door to door and knocking on people's houses, bringing them the gospel, or running a radio station or whatever it might be. If people are looking at us, you know, then we've failed in our mission. We have to get them to look not at us but at Him, at our Blessed Lord. He has to increase. We have to decrease. Okay. Another beautiful virtue which St. John the Baptist teaches us is the virtue of penance, right? You know, even though he had been liberated from his original sin prior to his birth, St. John the Baptist still recognized that having been conceived in original sin, he had to do penance, right? And so he dedicated himself to a very austere life there in the desert, eating locusts and honey. One of the brothers suggested maybe we should have that for lunch today at the friary. I don't know. We've got lots of crickets going around in the... I think we could probably find some of them. At any rate, I don't know how well that would go over. But the point is, he was a man who did extraordinary penance, right? Because he recognized that, you know, if you want to proclaim the gospel, it has to be joined to a life which incarnates the gospel. It's not enough to speak words. You have to also show the truth of those words in your lives. And it's also, you know, a penitential life is also a witness to the world, because if people see that you don't have a lot of you know, creature comforts, as they call them, you know, if you don't pamper your body, and you don't and if you deny yourself all sorts of legitimate pleasures, they'll say, well, wait a minute, there's something to this. You know, this person really does believe in the next life. This person really is not living for this world, right? Another virtue that he shows us is his zeal for proclaiming the truth, even in the face of persecution, right? In fact, in just another couple of months, we'll be celebrating the feast of his martyrdom. That's another thing. He's one of the only saints who actually have more than one feast in the liturgical calendar. We celebrate his birth today, and then in August we celebrate his martyrdom. And why was he martyred? He was martyred because he defended the dignity of marriage and of the family. Huh. Does that sound relevant today? Dear God, there's so many people who are attacking the dignity of marriage and the family. And it falls on us Catholics in particular, who have the fullness of the truth, to proclaim it in season and out of season. In season, meaning proclaiming it to people who will likely accept our message and who will be friendly to it. Out of season, meaning proclaiming it to people who we know are not going to accept that message, or who will at first receive it with hostility, even as the seed is planted in their hearts. And we have to be willing to live out the consequences of proclaiming the gospel, which is we have to be willing to suffer as our Lord suffered, right? The precursor was martyred in order to foreshadow the martyrdom of our Lord. And each one of us that suffers for the gospel is making that mystery present in our own day and age, making it alive for people who perhaps need reasons to believe. And so there's so many other things we could say about St. John the Baptist, but one other reflection that could prove useful is we should ask ourselves, you know, whether we in our lives as Christians are really living that fullness of the faith that St. John the Baptist had, or whether we're a little bit more like his father, Zechariah, right? In other words, are we filled at all times with the Holy Spirit so that we're always ready to give testimony to our faith, to give an account for the reasons of our faith? Or are we like Zechariah? Do we find ourselves dumb when somebody asks us to defend our faith, when we have to speak up and proclaim the gospel to the world? Are we filled with the same joy that St. John the Baptist had, who leapt within his mother's womb because he was sanctified by God's grace? Or are we like Zechariah? Do we sit there doubting and silent and not filled with joy? If we're more like Zechariah, ooh, something has to change, right? Well, what was it that prompted that change in the life of St. John the Baptist? It was the approach of our blessed Lord in the womb of his blessed mother, right? You know, the momentous occasion which brought about the sanctification of St. John in the womb was the fact that Our Lady came to visit his mother, right? And at the sound of Our Lady's greeting, the babe was sanctified, and he leapt for joy in his mother's womb. In other words, if we draw near to our Lord in the womb of his mother, that is, to the Eucharist within the womb of the Church, or to our Blessed Mother, through praying to her the Holy Rosary, consecrating ourselves to her, then yes, that process of sanctification will be, it'll accelerate in our lives, and we too will be transformed, and we too will come forth in the end, rendered pure, holy, and immaculate, transformed, as it were, into images of Our Lady. And that's another beautiful reflection. St. John the Baptist is one of the first saints to be transformed into the image of Our Lady. Right? He came into this world a sinner. Well, he came into the womb a sinner. He came into this world Immaculate like our Blessed Mother. Oh, wow. That's a beautiful grace for which we should all pray and hope and work. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.